2, 3, clap. So we're slating. So now they're synced because they're on two different tracks.
Oh my God, love. Starting the timer. Yep. Well, let's get into it. This is our very first episode.
Yeah.
As you saw, the title of the episode is Vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to start by sharing right off the top. I'm feeling vulnerable about starting this podcast.
That's so meta of you.
I know. I'm like, so we're going to do an episode on vulnerability and I'm not going to talk about how vulnerable this feels. That feels a bit like copping out.
Yeah. I just had this moment, outer body experience, where it was like, I don't think they realize who we are right now.
I know.
So that was Jake talking. See, this is how good we are at this. We should start off with an introduction.
I know. We probably should. We should introduce ourselves.
Who are you?
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake, and I am a therapist. I'm a thinker. I'm a feeler. I'm a doer. I'm all those things. And now I'm a podcaster, which is really exciting. Is that not the intro that we want?
No. I love how extra it was. I was just like, just say who you are. Like your name? So people can associate your voice with your name.
Oh, I thought you meant like you need to like infomercial yourself, no. Like sell yourself.
No, but like that's fine. That's a vibe. And we're going to go with that. I am not going to do that. I'm just going to say that this is Simon speaking. We have created this podcast called This Isn't Therapy. So welcome to episode one. And our intention here is to not have stuffy conversations about mental health. And we're trying to make it casual. So...
Yeah, I mean, like let's talk about that. Like, when we say stuffy, I think what we mean is, like, it gets really inaccessible, mm-hmm. right? And it can become really, like, the space can become really saturated with people just, like, offering information and offering answers yeah. and, like, no, like, relatability, right? And, like, no, like, personalization at all. We want this to be a podcast that is not only relatable and accessible, but it's also friendly and inviting, but also like funny and serious and yeah. fully encapsulates like who we are.
Yeah. All of those things.
Because we are all those things. And
not at all. All of the above, but also at the same time, none of the above.
Yeah. If it was multiple choice, it would be C. You would choose C.
Yeah.
Not D, all of the above. It would be C.
It would be C, not the above.
Always choose C. I think part of like also too, kind of what I want to make space for is for us just to kind of like just explore and like figure it out, which is also why you'll notice that like Simon and I aren't going to overproduce this thing. Like we're not going to make it into some like kitschy selly like marketing kind of thing.
Yeah. Speaking of, we should probably talk about our sponsors, HelloFresh. Like imagine.
We should one sec, let us just list all our sponsors. Yeah. We forgot to list every single sponsor that we have.
So like we
which is no one.
No one. Absolutely no one. Okay. So welcome to our very first episode of This Isn't Therapy. We're very excited because we sent out a prompt to Jake's Instagram account. First off, thank you so much for submitting. We know in the act of like how vulnerable that is talking about your vulnerabilities. So thank you.
We got a lot of responses and a lot of really good responses too. So I hope that people don't take us not choosing them as like kind of that like middle school, like, oh, I didn't get picked kind of thing. Cause I wanted to select every single one because they're all so good and have so much like really important meat attached to them. People who are sharing their story are choosing to.
Yes.
There is a prompt that was included in the original call out that did sort of ask for consent to share these stories on air.
The fun thing that happened, which was we had an episode planned that would be after this one and it would be a different theme. But then we realized in receiving all the different prompts, the act of like interpreting that question, we were able to, it was very insightful. And I'm pointing at Jake because I want him to explain what the thing that, because it's.
And it's funny because I was looking away, so I didn't see the point,
no.
But I'm now here because I heard it.
And I'm like going like this and this being, I'm literally flailing with my noodle arms. So
the fascinating part that we figured out actually was that because we didn't define vulnerability, that allowed people to define it for themselves, which I think is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so we actually found that there were two themes that people submitted about. And The first is opening up. So the vulnerable act of actually telling something that is really like vulnerable or maybe private. And then there's the second part, which is that, you know, people may find it vulnerable to have certain things or certain parts of themselves that they also don't maybe want people knowing, or they'd rather keep to themselves because it feels a bit safer. So that's what we sort of call the insecurity idea. So there was themes of opening up and then themes of insecurities.
So there you go. There's our first two episodes, which was kind of really cool to have the listener, your input impact our little show.
Yeah. So actually maybe at that, we should introduce our third host, which is you.
Which is
you.
Oh my
God.
Surprise. Look behind you.
Hello, you're live on air.
We're right behind you. Let's get into the first one.
Okay, so let's get into the very first story. This is a story that I'm calling You Don't Have to Share Everything. I was 14 years old, living, of course, with my parents. My mother is a strict Catholic person, and she strongly believes in God. I, on their hand, do not. I told my mom, well, actually both my parents, that I think I might be an atheist. Religion was always a touchy subject in our family, also because my father is not much of an active churchgoer or anything like that. I knew they wouldn't be too encouraging, but I wanted to share with them this piece of myself. Also, I felt it was a trial, as I knew I was bisexual with a strong tendency towards my own gender, and I needed to try first at coming out to know what actual coming out would feel like. Yeah. So in the end, my mom didn't speak to me for a week and is still 5 years later salty about it. I never came out about my sexuality, and I'm glad that I didn't. I'm glad I was vulnerable back then to find out what kind of person my mom was. She's a great woman, but not always exactly what I needed. Thank you for reading. I'm super excited about your podcast. Thank you so much for submitting.
Yes.
Simon, I want to get your first thoughts. Like, what is your initial reaction to this story?
I think the big thing, which was the how being vulnerable allowed this person to decide what boundaries to set in the future. Like, it was almost like a pilot, a trial, which was literally what they said, of the bigger thing. Yeah. So they were okay with like losing out, air quotes, on the conversation of, hey, I don't necessarily believe in God, or I don't follow that religion. The stakes that like the fallout for that was less of a higher stake than it was the coming out about being bisexual. How you don't have to be vulnerable about everything all at once, all the time. And it's okay to withhold pieces of yourself to certain people because they are not going to give you what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the main thing that sticks out for me in addition to that is this idea of choice and this idea of control over what we share. And I think that we have this like really weird vulnerability culture where it's kind of like cool to be vulnerable, or there's like this kind of like marketability in vulnerability that kind of says like, hey, I'm sharing this thing and I'm expecting something in return. And I love that this person is actually talking about the ways that they are really resisting that. And I think that we see a lot of examples of people testing the waters a bit and mm-hmm. doing that little like trial, like some like trial vulnerability. Not right. to say that like the trial period isn't vulnerable.
Yeah.
But it seems to be like leading up to something bigger or something like a bigger secret or a bigger like moment that they're opening up about.
Yeah. I also have to say that the fact that this person decided like, okay, metaphor corner. Mm-hmm. For a second, this person was driving down a country road mm-hmm. and was like, I'm headed in this direction. Was like down the road halfway, took a pit stop and was like, listen, this is the thing that I need to tell you now. And then decided, okay, I'm going to keep going, but I'm going to not go into the direction that I originally thought I was going, which was I'm going to use this as a stepping stone to then come out to which is the actual destination. I'm going to decide, oh, you know what? This isn't for me.
Yeah.
This country road ain't for me. I'm not a country
girl. I'm not a country girl anymore.
I'm going back to the city.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like my favorite part was that this person decided like, oh, it's actually okay. Because like we're both queer people and there's so much pressure to like come out and be out and be be the person to say, I'm so glad I came out.
Right. And show up in a very like particular way. But actually, yeah. like, I think also what this highlights is the fact that like vulnerability is something that we engage in like really often. And it's also something that maybe we don't always know that we're doing it. And so, yeah, that's like a fascinating element to me. And what made me think of that was you saying, like, as queer people, like, you know, we have this like coming out as, and it's like there's a big misconception that it's like this one moment, this like declaration that we make, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that we're always coming out, right? Like, we're always declaring ourselves, right? Like, we're always kind of having to tell people, like, this is who I am, or this is who I am, and I have a partner, and I, you know, do this for fun, right? And showing up as our full selves is a privilege. Not everyone gets to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And which is fascinating, because I think that in terms of like vulnerability, we all have access to it, but that it's not sort of, it doesn't translate the same way for everyone.
It's okay to not be fully transparent.
Period.
Period. Full stop.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you, in this person's case, like less of a queer person because you haven't come out to your parents. But like abstract that, like take it out of sexuality for a second. Like, you're allowed to not share every part of you.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
This is the
part. Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and again, to that point that I think it's so hard to share. But at the very same time, it's easy to dilute sort of the experience that we might have. I think part of, and so what I mean by that is that like as a therapist, I hear a lot of stories, right? Like, so people tell me a lot of things.
Yeah.
And part of my job is being in tune with how maybe difficult that is for someone or how vulnerable that might be for them. And so there's the story element, but then there's also the experience of the story. And so as a therapist, I'm tracking both those things, right? Like, I'm looking for like, okay, what is the actual narrative and the story that's being told, but also what is their experience of that story? So,
like the experience of telling you that yeah. story or the experience. Oh, okay.
The experience of telling that story. Yes. But also the experience of like living that story, right? And like living that truth. Right. So there's like kind of a dual component there. This is getting a bit like meta or a bit like deep, which I think we're okay to go.
I think so.
But it's fascinating, right? Because what it then requires us to also think about is the ways that like, it just really just highlights how complex we are. Right. And like how complex this idea of vulnerability is. Like, you'll also notice that, you know, Sai and I are not defining vulnerability.
No, we could,
but we're also just sort of using a story to like really highlight how like deep and complex it is. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? I see you pondering.
I feel like I learned something and I feel very grateful for that, but I don't want to make this about me. But
right,
I'm this
right.
person sharing this story and then the way that they talked about how they sort of use vulnerability create those new boundaries and to sort of reflect and say like, hey, this person isn't the person that I needed and they're my mother, which is a difficult relationship already yeah. to navigate
yeah.
when you don't have that relationship with someone who's supposed to be, you know, X, Y, and Z. I like that this person just full stop was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. And I think also what you're highlighting is the fact that when vulnerability unlocks like other forms of pain or other forms of like aspects of ourselves, like that can also be hard too, right? So vulnerability maybe doesn't always have the payout that we want.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are many moments of vulnerability where we are grateful that we went there, you know, in order to like kind of flex our like emotion skills a little bit and to like kind of learn something new. So in that sense, like vulnerability is a teacher.
Vulnerability is a teacher.
Yeah. Vulnerability is a teacher, coming out on iTunes. MSW Jake. Stay tuned for that one. All right. Do you think that we should move on to our next story?
Let's move on to our next one.
Awesome.
Okay. Okay. That was a really good one. That was mm-hmm. a really good first one.
Yeah.
So this second one I am calling, I Can't Be Vulnerable. Full disclosure. When we were first reading through the submissions, I thought this one was a joke, like someone was trolling us.
Mm. Wait, what?
And so I haven't decided. I don't think this person is.
Okay.
However, it stopped me full in my tracks because I was like, oh, okay, this is an interesting thing to talk about.
So it was an attention getter. You were like, whoa, what?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so this story, which will be our second one, I am calling, like I said, I Can't Be Vulnerable. And it goes like this. Hey, Jake, really wouldn't know what to share here, except that I really don't know if I've ever been vulnerable. My walls are a fortress since before I can remember. I care for people and hear them and see them, but do I know how to be vulnerable?
Oh, wow.
It. Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, my initial reaction to that is that just by sharing that, mm-hmm. that's a vulnerable endeavor.
That's what
right?
I thought too.
Right?
Like, I didn't want to be too like woohoo about it, but I was like, no, you're like the self-awareness that you are aware that you, you know, can't be vulnerable, air quotes.
Yeah.
Is vulnerable?
Yeah. Like if I were to paraphrase that question, it would be like a, hey, Jake, I don't understand your question. And I don't actually know if I ever have done that.
Mm.
Right. And like, I think that itself, like, for us to admit that we don't know something or admit that we are not sure if we've kind of gone in that territory mm-hmm. is like, there's a certain amount of vulnerability in that. In like, especially like, I feel like in our culture in this day and age, to own up to that, like, feels a bit like a confession, right? It feels a bit like a, you know what? I don't really know if I've done that. And I think, you know, part of it too, I think, is because our like feelings education these days like is not great, right? Like I think that part of the reason why maybe this person doesn't know if they've done that is because, you know, there isn't a lot of like cultural understanding around like what vulnerability is.
Could you say that maybe this person has experienced vulnerability but they didn't recognize it as being vulnerable?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Is that a possibility? Okay.
Yeah, and I think that we saw that just by this person submitting this
so
question.
True. So it's like I set you up.
It's
that.
Juicy. It's juicy.
It's a ripe apple and we're going to take a bite.
We're taking a juicy bite. And so like, you know, to answer your question, yeah, I think that, you know, this person probably didn't know actually that they're actually demonstrating vulnerability, right? If you're reading or looking at the page, you'll see that it's like four sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Someone thought that it was important for us to know that or important to share that. And I think that that's what we're talking about
yeah.
when we say vulnerability, because it's opening yourself up to the possibility of like not knowing what the outcome might be.
And so they quite literally answered their own question.
Fully.
Like fully. Right at the, okay.
Fully.
Full stop.
I'm glad that you brought that up actually, because I think that in the first story we saw like how vulnerability can be a teacher.
Yeah.
But in this story, we're actually showing that like, well, actually like to play vulnerability out, like it requires some inherent kind of risk, right? Mm. It requires some element of like, you know, I'm just going to submit it. I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to like put this here and see what happens.
Right. It kind of sounds to me that this person already kind of has like the blueprint of an understanding of what it means to be vulnerable to them in like the very personal way. So would it be safe to say to continue like you already know, you're like, ah, I'm gonna like an archaeological dig, mm-hmm, it's like mm-hmm. I'm gonna dig here, there's a hem here, there's a hem here,
yep,
and you are later going to cultivate those things. So I'm gonna cultivate my relationship with people,
mm-hmm,
because I've already identified that like, hey, I care for people, shouldn't that be vulnerability?
Totally.
But I don't feel vulnerability.
Totally, totally.
Like, but what does vulnerability feel like?
Great question.
How do you quantify that? I don't know. I feel like I asked so many things. I started off as one thing and here we are, but.
I think that it speaks to our desire to know. I think it speaks to our desire to want an answer. And you use the word quantify. So it sounds like we want some kind of like measurable outcome on yeah. like, what am I being vulnerable enough? But if we return to the story, the person like said it right there, like caring for people, hearing them and seeing them, like, those are the like the metrics of vulnerability. Like that's how you like be vulnerable, is like daring to care, daring to like see people for who they are, daring to like hear people. Like those are all vulnerable endeavors. Those are all like really vulnerable things to take part in.
Right. And can I sort of connect the first stories by saying story one told us that vulnerability can feel like you're vulnerable in one laneway of your life.
Yeah.
But could be closed off in another way
yeah.
with a certain person. Very much this person sounds like perhaps maybe they're thinking vulnerability means I need to be open about everything.
Yes.
But what we learned from the first story
yes.
was that you don't have to be. Like, vulnerability doesn't mean complete and 100% transparency to everyone all the time.
Yes.
In every space and every room that you walk into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and maybe this person is, those. It's not walls. It's not a fortress that this person put up. Maybe they're boundaries.
I was just going to say boundaries.
Am I an MSW?
You are reading my mind. Oh, my God. Welcome. Oh, my God.
Miss Cleo, if you're listening, you can finally go to bed.
Yes.
Because I've got you.
Honestly. No, but to that point, though, like, this person's like, I don't know if I've actually ever been vulnerable because my walls are a fortress. Like, to your point, Simon, like, you can be vulnerable if, like, you have boundaries. Right? Like, if you have, like, really firm, like, guidelines or really firm, like, sets of, like, beliefs, like, you can be vulnerable and still be true to yourself. And so when you ask the question, or like, what kind of, like, you know, advice or, you know, what sort of suggestions would I have? It's that return to you. Like, you're the person that, like, really knows what you need and what you, like, what you want. And also, like, what you can offer people. Vulnerability, like, is connection, right? So it's connection to something. Either we're connecting with ourselves or connecting with someone else or connecting with, like, a part of our relationship, that kind of thing.
And that kind of connects to your other point by talking about connection with yourself.
Yeah.
So it's enough to not necessarily connect with someone else. It's enough to say, in this moment, I feel this thing. I'm connected to this thing. I'm aware of this thing. I am me and I feel this thing. And that is vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah.
By just the act of connecting self to, like, awareness of something about yourself is vulnerability.
Yeah.
Could be vulnerability. We don't want to define it.
Why would we? Why would we define it? I guess it's really easy to look at vulnerability and to say that vulnerability has to mean sharing or it has to mean, like, disclosing something. Vulnerability does not have to be only about our comfort. It doesn't have to just be about all the things that make us uncomfortable. Right? There can be many vulnerable things that actually do bring us joy and, like, contentment or excitement or all those, like, really, like, positive experiences.
I mean, that's not what I would say. No, I'm just kidding.
Imagine. What would you, what would you say?
No, I agree. I think that was a nice way to, like, wrap it all up. Is there any final thing that you want to mention about either of those stories before we get to our last little segment?
I don't think so. I think that what I also just, I guess, want to actually, sorry, I guess there is. And one more thing.
One more thing. No, there's nothing I don't want to say, but one more thing.
You could never say that to Jake Ernst. You could never say, is there anything else you'd like to add? Because I will always add something.
Yeah.
No, what I was going to say was that I guess it's just important to say that, like, this is by no means a complete, like, version of, like, what vulnerability is or should be. Like, we're hoping that it stays dynamic and stays kind of open to interpretation. Like, by no means are we, like, closing the lid on this thing and sort of say, you know, these two questions sure solve that. Like,
because it goes back to our intention with this podcast was just, this is meant to be a conversation.
Yeah.
Why do we have to limit the conversation specifically in this episode of vulnerability to only inside of the therapy room? Let's have it outside of the room. This isn't therapy. It's not a replacement for therapy, but you could find this therapy. Did I come up with our catchphrase?
That's it.
Is that it?
Butum tis.
I can't. Butum tis.
Butum tis. So we want to make a lot of space for us to, like, go some, like, really cool directions with this podcast. But I think something that we always want to commit to is sort of wrapping it up in a neat and pretty and, like, a kind of a hopeful way. I think that's always, like, really nice to kind of leave on a nice, like, high note. And so you can expect that we'll always end with a nice little segment of joy and positivity and reflection and fun and, like, whatever. So maybe sometimes that might be a game. Maybe sometimes that could be, like, a cool, like, song. I'm not a songwriter myself, but
and come in anytime.
Right.
That's so it. Oh, you're going.
No, I wasn't about to. No, don't make me.
Fine, I'll sing.
So this is going to be our final segment that is just a moment of positivity and a moment of hope for us all to sort of go away with. So I put out a nice little prompt on my Instagram page, and it was really a prompt about, can you share something that has been in, like, an aha moment for you in therapy, or a moment of, like, great reflection that has come out of an interaction with a therapist or with someone in the helping profession. And so we're just going to read some of the ones that got submitted, because I think there's a lot of really great stuff here.
Yeah. And before you read the first one, I have to say the reason why we're also doing this too, yes anding to everything you said, was because this podcast isn't therapy. Yes, yeah. We established that. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is what therapy could do for you.
Okay, so we're just going to do a little popcorn style here. So cool. This person's takeaway is that I'm allowed to forgive the child version of me for doing what she needed to survive. Oh, I love that.
And do you think that comes from, like, is that the therapist said that to this person? Or do you think that person came to the conclusion on their own?
It sounds like this person came to the conclusion on their own.
I like that.
Yeah.
This one, which I understand in theory, do not understand it in practice. So feel free to insert yourself. But this one says, changing thinking of what if to so what. So you're reframing to not dwell on negatives.
Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Understand that in theory, do not understand it in practice.
Oh, let me explain. So it's the whole idea of, like, you know, when we get into, like, our thought spirals and we get into, like, our negative thinking brain, and we're kind of like, well, like, what if this happens? Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? It sounds like this person is working with their therapist on some acceptance or some kind of, like, practice around, like, okay, well, so what? Like, what happens if it happens?
Oh, so almost like lowering the stakes. Yeah. So we think, yeah, it's not as urgent as we think it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. So it's like, well, like, what if people judge me? And then it's the response would be like, yeah, so what? Right. So
what does that mean for you? Is it really that bad if they do judge you? That's funny, because it's kind of like the scary movie thing where you're like, what if there's a monster behind the door? And so you work yourself up, because you're like, what if there's a monster behind the door?
Yeah.
That I'm going to, like, it's going to be all of these things. And then you open the door and it's like a sweater.
And then you die. Because it was.
And then you die because it was. But then you turn around and the monster was behind you the whole time.
Yeah. She was taunting you the whole time from behind.
Yes.
Yeah.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Get out, get Mary.
Get out, Mary. Mary, if you're listening to this podcast, Mary, did you get out?
Mary, you need to get out.
Mary, get out.
This person says, the thing that I learned the most is that I have grit. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
What does that mean? Explain that.
Well, I think that this person just really referring to the fact that, like, you know, I can, like, get dirty a little bit, and I can, like, dig into this thing a little bit and kind of, like, make it work for me. Like, right. I can, like, be tough. Like, I can, like, really stand up for myself, maybe. Mm-hmm. I can assert myself. Mm-hmm. I can, like, tell people what I need. I can say no. I can set boundaries. All that requires, like, a certain level of, like, grit and, like, a certain level of, like, fortitude and a certain level of, like, being able to, like, press on despite maybe how hard it is or how uncomfortable it is.
Yeah. You know what the visual I get?
Mm.
Is like walking through mud.
Yeah. Like you can kind of wade through it.
Yeah.
You can trudge through it.
That's a great thing that you can do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do one more.
Yeah.
This one says, the connection between procrastination and perfectionism.
Oh, wow.
Like understanding that connection. And I can tell you, was never a procrastinator. Was never a procrastinator that I know of. Because I could be, probably. But I could tell you.
I'll tell you later.
I'll tell you later because I don't feel like telling you now. You know what? Like, we'll do it tomorrow. But I'm not a procrastinator, I swear.
No, I'm not.
I swear. I'm not a witch.
Let's put it off.
No. But the wanting to be perfect and therefore not starting something.
Yeah.
Because you have the vision in your head of, oh, it needs to be this. And step one, of course, doesn't look like that, but I need until step one can look as close to perfect as possible, I'm not going to start. So I recognize with that. So maybe I do know. I don't know.
Oh, I think that's such a human experience. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Okay. We did it. This
was our first episode. We did it.
We've arrived. Like, if you've stayed around long enough to reach this moment and to
meet this moment.
If you're meeting this moment where we are, you're at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Episode one. But luckily we have a couple more episodes that we've also released at the same time.
Yay!
So if you cannot wait to listen to the next episode, please listen to episode 2 and episode 3.
Yeah, and I guess the final thing is we would love to know what you think. What do you want to hear more of? What are you interested in? Mm-hmm. What do you want to hear stories about? And what do you want to hear us dissect and disseminate and trudge through?
Just like, I thought you were going to give a D.
I was trying to find one, but then I was like, mud.
Mud. I have the mud. It's the mud visual.
I had mud on the brain.
Mud on the brain.
Anyways.
So they can interact with us individually?
Yeah? Absolutely. Okay. Simon, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram and only Instagram. I don't exist anywhere else in the real world.
No.
My Instagram is @directedbysimon. Maybe we'll create an Instagram for this podcast. I don't know.
Maybe one day.
Jake, where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me at the buffet stand.
Mandarin?
Yeah. You can find me eating all of my feelings.
Oh, just your feelings.
Anyway, you can find me at MSW Jake if you are open to connecting. Mm-hmm. Woo!
Woohoo! And we would love to hear your thoughts. Because this is a journey for us, and just like how you impacted this first episode and our second episode.
Yeah.
We're always interested in learning and doing better, and I hope you had a lot of fun. Our intention was just to have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had fun. Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I can't wait for episode 2.
Me too.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Bye.
Bye. Wow, that wasn't as awkward as I thought.
No, I didn't either.